We all know that the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he gave her the news that she, a virgin, a young lady, would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and would bear a child who would be the Savior of the world, the Savior of us all. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I've never known a man." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overpower you, and you will be with child." And Mary's answer to the angel was, what? She said, "Be it unto me according to your word. Behold, a handmaiden of the Lord." What is a handmaiden of the Lord? She was saying, behold, a servant of God. Look, I'm a servant of God. Whatever you say, God, goes. That's what she said to the angel. You know, she had a right to say no. How many of you know that she could have said, time out. That's not going to happen. How many of you know that Mary, as a young lady, as a maiden in that day and age, was in danger of being put to death if she were to be found pregnant and not married? But she could have said, "I have my whole future ahead of me, God. I appreciate the offer, but no thanks. I'm not into this," right? She could have done that, but she didn't. She said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." See, when God speaks, you have a choice to decline or ignore him. You have a choice to decline or ignore what the word of the Lord is for you. It doesn't matter who he comes and talks to you through. It doesn't matter how you hear him. God never forces himself. He never forces his will into your life. It's completely up to you. And it was completely up to Mary. And she said, "Yes, be it unto me according to your word." Mary was humble and contrite. That's why God came to her. He already knew her heart as a heart of humility and contrition. And in spite of the potential scandal, and regardless of the consequences, she said yes to God. Can we do that? Can we say yes to God no matter what it could potentially cost us? She was willing to obey God. But you understand, humility is not just obedience. It's submission of your will. Now listen to this. Humility is submission of your will to the will of another, and in this case, God. And by the way, the word humility has nothing to do with being humiliated. Humiliated is something different. I've been there. Have you been humiliated? I've been humiliated. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who walks in submission to God. That kind of humility. A person who's humble. Jesus, after all, was our example of true humility. And it doesn't mean walking around looking at the ground, does it? Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't walk around looking at the ground saying, "Well, I'm just so humble." In fact, I knew a guy one time who said, "I'm the most humble man you'll ever meet." I knew right away he wasn't. If you were humble, you wouldn't have told me that. You would have shown it to me. Jesus prayed in the garden at Gethsemane. He said, "If possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done." Hello, there, you see, there is humility. Not my will, God, but yours be done. That's tough for me. It's tough for me to think that way and to believe that way. I hope it's tough for all of you, because sometimes we don't want to do the will of God. Sometimes our will circumvents his. We want to do what we want to do. We want to say what we want to say, and we want to say it when we want to say it. Don't you dare, God, tell me to be quiet. He tells me that every once in a while. But Jesus also showed humility when he fashioned a whip and he drove the people out of the temple who were money changers, and he turned their tables over. And he said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves." Now, how was that humble? I knew you'd ask me that, so I'm glad you asked. It was humble because he was protecting his Father's house, always going about doing the will of his Father. That's humility. Jesus' will was surrendered. Do you think he was up to popularity at that time? Do you think he was thinking, "Well, you know, this isn't going to make me very popular, so I better not do it"? No. This was his Father's house. The Holy of Holies was in the temple, and people were selling things in the lobby And he said, no. My Father's house is a house of prayer. That was humility on Jesus' part. So humility doesn't always mean just walking around, oh, so humble and contrite. It means surrendering your will to the Lord our God. What Jesus did was in perfect submission to the will of the Father. In fact, when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Well, but where on earth? In my life. Everywhere in my life. Your will be done in my life. Do you mean it? See, I hope we all mean it. I mean it most of the time. But it's a struggle, isn't it? Because sometimes you want your will over God's will. Do we want God's will only when it's convenient, but our own will at all other times? Do you know that as a church we have a vision? And one of the visions of the church, the International Communion of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, one of the visions of this church is to fill the void with the work of the Lord, with the work of the Holy Spirit, and to reach out to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Those are acts of humility on the part of the church. And you know, a good example of St. Paul's humility and reaching out is Gay Haven. We went caroling there Monday night, and it was 35 of us caroling. It was fun. We had a great time. Ministering to those people. Some of us, in spite of other things that we might have had to do, we went and caroled for those people. That's acts that God sees, and those are acts of humility. He likes that. God honors that. He likes that when we do things like that. Another one is to adopt a family. To adopt a family outside the church that we don't even know. That's an act of humility on our part. We don't know them. It may bring us nothing, but you know what? We're going to do it anyway because God sees us. And now we're adopting a couple other families. We're adopting a couple other families within the church. And those are acts that God sees and honors because they're acts of humility. How? How and why are they acts of humility? Because they require us to give something up, don't they? Do you remember the... people don't like it when I bring this up. Do you remember the adage about fasting? You know what fasting means? It means going without food. Fasting is one of the ultimate examples of humility. Why? Because in spite of what your brain and your stomach is telling you, you're going to say, no, I'm going to control that, and I'm going to obey the word of the Lord. Fasting is going for a time without food so that you can devote that time to prayer or to giving or to ministry of some sort. That is humility. See, that's what Mary was all about. Mary was the type of person that would do that. She was the type of person that didn't mind if God told her to do something that was inconvenient or difficult or hard. She said, I'll do it, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm a handmaiden of the Lord. Visiting people in hospitals, helping people move. Those are acts of humility. God sees those things. Those are good things. If you wanted the definition of humility, it's setting aside your own desires, agenda, comfort, and possessions and giving it all to God. Does anybody here really own anything? Isn't it all God's anyway? Isn't everything that you have belong to Him? And so an act of humility is saying, I'm going to take, God, what you've given me, and I'm going to share it. Those are acts of kindness. Baking cookies is an act of kindness.
We love you, Billy.
And yeah. Diane? Yeah. See, if you give everything to God, then you share what you have. Because it's not mine anyway. It's His. And this is His family. Mary was like that. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. I'll do whatever you want, she said. Did you know that kneeling down and confessing our sins in each other's presence is an act of humility? We're saying, I'm with you. I didn't do too well, God. I don't mind humbling myself before you and, by the way, before everybody here and saying it out loud. I have sinned against you. That's an act of humility. Did you know that forgiving somebody when they don't deserve it is surrendering your will to God? Did you know that forgiving somebody when they don't necessarily deserve forgiving, you're doing it as an act of, as surrendering your will to God. Did you know that making peace with somebody who's ticked off at you or who you're ticked off at, is considered an act of humility, and it's the will of God? Did you know? These are acts of humility, and they honor God. And the ultimate humility is allowing God to have his way and will in your life, surrendering it all to him. I'm going to talk about something for a minute here that I think has just come up. When we do the passing of the peace, did you know that that's part of what we call the offertory? The offertory means that we bring our gifts to God. The elements of the wine and the bread and our offerings, we bring those to God. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, now, if you come to bring your offering to God and you remember that somebody's mad at you, you need to go make peace with them. Or that you're mad at somebody, you need to go make peace with them before you come up to the altar. So we do that. We do that as a church. The passing of the peace is supposed to be a time when we turn to our neighbor and we say, the peace of the Lord. Even if you're not ticked off at them or they're not ticked off at you, we do it symbolically all over the church so that if somebody really does have a grievance, they're not sticking out. They can go to that person and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. That's what the passing of the peace is about. It's a true act of humility. And if you mean it, then God blesses you for that. He honors it and he sees it. Mary was ultimately humble. And her life changed forever. She surrendered her life to God, and it changed forever. Did you know that when you surrender your life to God, it will change forever? Everything will change. For Mary, everything changed. And it was a wonderful, beautiful thing that happened, wasn't it? It happens when we encounter Jesus and accept him as the Lord and Savior and follow him. Our life changes forever. And what a wonderful change it is. There's people sitting here that can testify to that. When I met Jesus, my life changed. Humility, you see, is not a popular subject in the pop culture. It's not a popular subject in postmodern Western civilization. Lots of therapists are worried about taking away my self-esteem if I'm humble. If I'm humble, I lose my self. Hello. I lose my self-esteem, me. Because it is all about me, isn't it? Yeah. But there's no greater self-esteem. Now listen to this. There's no greater self-esteem than knowing that the God who created the universe, the one that we call Father, the loving, true God, loves you. You. Put your name in there. He loves you unconditionally. You want to talk about self-esteem? Do you want to rise up and say, God loves me unconditionally? That's what I want to do when I hear that. Because he knows me. He knows exactly who I am. Every desire and every thought of my heart, he knows. And you know what? He loves me anyway. And he loves you. That, you see, affects your self-esteem in a very good way, doesn't it? Because you can at any time in your life rise up and say, the living God loves me. He loves me. I feel good about myself because he loves me. What greater news is there than that? We can then face the world around us, not with arrogance or boasting or haughtiness or rudeness. God loves me and not you, nanner, nanner. No, I'm not saying that. No, not that way. But because we know that God loves us and that he's the Father of love and that his word is to go out into the world, we can do that. We can walk out there and say, we have the love of God and we want to share that with you. We want to share that love with you. We have a knowing that we are walking with God and that he is with us. I said, can you be Christmas to the world 3 weeks ago? Can you be Christmas? Can you be Christmas? And then I said, can you be a light? Can you be a light to enlighten the people around you? And last week I said, can you be John saying, can you go out and prepare the way for the Lord? Can you be the hope of their salvation? I'm going to ask you today, can you be Mary? Can you be humble enough within yourself to say, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. It's a tough one to do. It's probably the toughest of all to be Mary, to be like her. But as a church, we venerate her because of what she did. And in heaven, her name is always blessed. She said, my name will be forever blessed. And she was right. Can we be like Mary? Can we be humble enough to always just say, Lord, not your will. I mean, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. When somebody says that, what does it tell you? That they're already worshiping and magnifying God. They're already there. My spirit exalts, she said, in God my Savior. My spirit exalts in God my Savior. That's showing us that God is indeed her Lord, that he's more important. For he has looked with mercy upon my lowliness, and my name will be forever blessed. For the mighty God has done great things for me, said Mary, and his mercy endures from age to age. And holy is his name. He will show forth the strength of his arm. He will scatter the proud in their conceits. He will cast down the kings from their throne and lift up the meek and lowly. Why? Because holy is his name. What does his name mean to you? Does it mean enough to you to go out and be Mary to the world, to those around you, to your friends and neighbors, to those in this church? Will you take upon yourself that attitude that God's will is more important than my will, that his word is more important than my words, and his time is more important than mine? Will you be Mary?